I'd ask you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Because of the holidays, it's been a few weeks since we've been in our study of 1 Corinthians. So it's probably appropriate that we do a little bit of a review. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 begins a three-chapter section dealing with what we would refer to as spiritual gifts. And in this section, Paul emphasizes unity in diversity. We all have been given by God different gifts, talents, abilities that are to be used for the benefit of the one body, the body of Christ. And so we have the diversity of gifts, but the unity of the one body. And as God has given these diversity of gifts and abilities and talents, He wants them used for the benefit of that one body, the body of Christ, the church. Beginning with verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 12, Paul uses this metaphor of our physical body to emphasize this diversity in unity. He says, the body, verse 12, is one, and has many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. With our physical bodies, we have various members with different tasks to perform. Our hands, our feet, our arms, our legs, our hearts, our internal organs all have their function, but it's all for the benefit of the one body, and it is a unified body, though many members. And so also is Christ, he says in verse 12. God has put members in the body of Christ, the church, with various abilities and talents, various gifts, to be used for the benefit of the church. And this morning we want to continue looking at this metaphor that Paul uses of the physical body to represent the body of Christ, the church. Every member is important, and we need each other. Let's bow in prayer. Father, guide us again this morning as we come back to our study here in 1 Corinthians. It is important for us to understand how the body of Christ, the church, is to work together, unity in diversity. All of us as members with different abilities and strengths, and yet working together for that unified purpose of the church bringing honor and glory to your holy name. And it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In verses 14 through 20, which we've already looked at, we saw in essence what Paul says about the one who makes the statement, "Nobody needs me." Nobody needs me. Notice in verses 14 through 20, "For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, 'Because I am not the hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, 'Because I am not the eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling?" In essence, he's addressing that one who says, "Nobody needs me. I'm not important. My abilities, my strengths, my talents, they're really not very significant, and nobody really needs me." And he says, that's not true. As our physical body, the foot can't say, "I'm not the hand, therefore the body doesn't need me." The ear cannot say, "Because I'm not the eye, the body doesn't need me." Nobody in the church, regardless of what abilities and talents you may have, nobody can say, "It's not important, nobody needs me." And he says that in verse 18, "But now has God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased Him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body." God has given each one the abilities and the gifts that He desires each one to have, and each one is important to the church, and no one can say, the body doesn't need me. I think some people get this idea that they're the appendix. You know, nobody's quite sure what the appendix is for, and when it's gone, nobody cares. But you know, I did some reading on that, and actually, they've discovered that the appendix does have something to do with our immune system. It does play a part in the body. We all are important, and nobody can say, I'm not needed. We are needed. But then we come to verses 21 through 31, and just as nobody is able to say, nobody needs me, likewise, nobody can say, I don't need anybody. Notice verse 21. The eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. So in the previous verses, it's the one who says, nobody needs me. Here it's the one who says, I don't need anybody. Both are wrong. One is from a false sense of humility, and the other is from pride. And so 1 Corinthians 12, verses 14 through 20 addresses the one who says, nobody needs me. And verses 21 through 31 addresses the one who says, I don't need anybody. As he says, the eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. You know, if all there was the eye, they might be able to see what needs to be done, but without the hand, they couldn't do anything about it. They need the hand. The head can't say, I don't need the foot. The head might be able to know where to go, but not be able to get there if there's no foot. You see, we need each other. That's the point that Paul's making here. And nobody can say, I don't need anybody. Nobody can be lifted up with pride and say, my gifts and my abilities, they are so important, I really don't need anybody else. I don't need the rest of the body. My abilities are so great that I don't need the rest. And Paul says that's not true with our physical bodies. It certainly is not true within the church. Everyone is important, but no one is so important that they don't need others. We need each other, and it's a mutual unity as the body comes together for the purpose of bringing glory to God. In the church, the body of Christ, we all need each other. None of us should overestimate our importance or underestimate the importance of others. That's the bottom line. We need each other. And we can't be overestimating our own importance, and we cannot be underestimating the importance of others and the abilities and the gifts that God has given to them. We shouldn't underestimate our own abilities that God has given to us. They're gifts from God. We need to exercise those gifts for the body of Christ. And we cannot underestimate that gift which God has given to us, nor overestimate it in ourselves or in others. As he goes on to verses 22 through 24, he really addresses three different kinds of members that some may look at and say, they're really not important. I really don't need them. He addresses those three different members saying, we do need them. Notice it in verse 22. No, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble or weak are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely or our unpresentable parts have more abundant presentability. For our presentable parts have no need, but God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. Three different kinds of members that we may think are not necessary. Those members who are weak, those members who are less honorable, and those members who we may think are unpresentable. Those three. Let's look at the first one. We need members that seem to be weaker. Much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble or weaker are necessary. Again, he's using this metaphor of our physical bodies. What part of our physical body, what member of our physical body is the weaker member? What's he talking about here? I would suggest to you that he's talking here with reference to the weaker members as our internal organs. The heart, the lungs, the liver, the internal organs. They're weaker in the sense that they're much more vulnerable. That's why God, in designing our body, has put those internal organs behind a skeleton to protect them because they're more vulnerable. They're weaker. You know, you can hit your thumb with a hammer, and it's going to hurt, but it's not going to kill you. Hit your heart with a hammer and see what happens. It's weaker, it's more vulnerable. And he says those weaker members, that they're behind the scenes, doing their thing, unnoticed, without much thought. You know, there's not a one of you thinking here this morning about making your heart beat. It just does its thing. Unnoticed, without thought, behind the scenes. And we may sometimes look at that and, boy, you know, my heart is kind of weak in the sense of it can't take the beating that my hand or my leg or my foot can take. And yet, nobody's going to argue. The heart's kind of necessary, kind of important to us. And so that's what I believe he's saying. The weaker members of our bodies are the internal organs, as they are much more vulnerable and therefore protected by the skeleton. God's designed the body to protect those weaker, those more vulnerable organs that are necessary. How's that applied to the church? Within the church, there are those who have abilities and gifts and talents that are exercised behind the scenes. They exercise those abilities and those talents just kind of unnoticed. Nobody really sees it. They're not visible. They're not out front. And in one sense, we may look at that individual and say they're kind of weak or vulnerable, not really all that important. And yet Paul says they're the ones who are extremely important. They are necessary. They're out of sight, kind of out of mind perhaps, but they are necessary. And we need to recognize that they are necessary, and we need to protect them perhaps, just like the skeleton protects those weaker organs. We maybe need to protect them. We maybe need to give special attention to them. You know, we give special attention to our heart when it starts acting up because that's necessary. We need it. And so we may need to give special attention and special protection to certain members who we seem and we look at as kind of weak because they're just kind of behind the scenes, eye to sight, out of mind. We need to give special attention to them. We need to recognize they are necessary. We need to protect them and encourage them. We need to honor them. You know, there are certain ones who are prayer warriors. We may not even know it, but they spend a great deal of time in prayer. Praying for you, praying for me, praying for the church. Behind the scenes, out of sight, out of mind. And we may look at that individual and we may think that they're just kind of weak and maybe not all that important. But they're just as important, probably more so, than the guy that stands up here visibly preaching every Sunday, because it's those prayer warriors that is the channel of divine power for the church. And they are necessary. But we can tend to sometimes look at them as weak and vulnerable and unimportant. Paul says those feeble members are necessary. Though the internal organs function behind the scenes without thought, no one can deny they are indeed necessary. And likewise, there are church members who work behind the scenes unnoticed, but are necessary. And we need to give special attention, perhaps special protection, special encouragement to them. And then he speaks of those members of the body which we think to be less honorable. Upon them we bestow more abundant honor. What's those members that are less honorable in the physical body? Well, you don't have to give it too much thought. Probably every single one of us here this morning have something about our physical body that we would change if we could. You know, we're too short, we're too tall, we're too fat, we're too skinny, we're too much flab around the middle, one ear's lower than the other, two eyes too close together, a bald head, gray head, whatever. We would change it if we could. And maybe we can't change it, but you know what we do? We'll spend time and effort and money to try to camouflage that perceived flaw. Men, you know, our wives, how much money will they spend on a dress that makes them look skinny? You know, when they ask you the question, does this dress make me look fat? You know the answer, right? Don't get in that. But us guys, we're just as vain. How many of us do the comb over so nobody sees our bald spot? That's what he's talking about. Those members that are less honorable, that we think those parts of our body that we don't like, we will do everything we can to bestow on it more honor, to make it look more honorable. That's what he's talking about. There are members in the church that from our perspective, we may look at them and say they're less honorable. They're just maybe hard to love. Maybe they just rub us the wrong way. We just kind of don't get along with them so well. Our personalities maybe clash, and we just kind of look at them as less honorable. And so what do? We avoid them. We ignore them. We really don't want anything to do with them. We see them coming. We go walk the other way because we just can't relate. Paul says, no. Those members that we perceive as being less honorable, they're the ones on whom we should bestow more honor. Instead of avoiding and ignoring them, we ought to spend more time trying to relate to them, more time trying to understand them, more time to appreciate them, because they are necessary. So we all have something about our physical bodies which we wish was different. We're often willing to spend a lot of time and effort and money to cover up our perceived flaws. Can we do any less for our fellow church members that we may perceive to be less honorable, that to us maybe are not very lovable, to us maybe are weak, and we don't understand them? And there are members in the church that to us seem to be unlovable and rub us the wrong way. Instead of ignoring or avoiding those members, we should bestow on them more honor. Those who perhaps have gifts and abilities that don't seem to be all that important to us, they may not seem to be all that important, we need to make sure we bestow honor upon them, that we recognize them, encourage them, and appreciate them, and not avoid and ignore them. There are those who feel often ignored. And shame on the rest of us if that's the case. Those who seem to be less honorable, we bestow more abundant honor. And then he speaks of those, in the last part of verse 23, our uncomely parts, the King James translates it, the unpresentable parts, have more abundant comeliness or more abundant presentability. What's he talking about here, the unpresentable parts? If I can be very delicate and discreet, he is talking about the private parts of our body upon which we bestow modesty. We spend a lot of money on clothes, rightly so, to cover up, to be modest. And so he's talking about those members perhaps in the church that sometimes we look at and we're almost embarrassed by them. We just don't understand them and they're kind of, we think, an embarrassment to us. Paul says it's on those that we need to show greater appreciation and greater attention. We pay great attention to covering up the body with our clothes. And we do pay attention to being modest. And we spend that time and that effort. And likewise, with those members that perhaps are an embarrassment to us, we need to spend time and effort and energy on them to bestow honor upon them. In the church, there may be members which you see as an embarrassment. To those members, you should give greater attention and show greater appreciation. Verse 24 says, our presentable parts have no need. You know, those whose abilities and gifts, that puts them kind of up front and they're noticed more, like our hands and our feet on our body, you know, we don't cover them up. That's not a modesty issue. We don't spend any time on that. And likewise, in the church, those that are out front and seen and very visible, they don't really necessarily need all kinds of special attention, because that just comes naturally for the ones who are more out front. But the ones, again, who are kind of behind the scenes, and we may even look at them as kind of an embarrassment, they need that special attention. They need that special encouragement. It doesn't come naturally to them, and so we need to make sure that we make sure that it comes to them, that encouragement and that attention. And so that's what he says there in verse 24. The presentable parts, they don't have any need. You don't need to spend a lot of time on them. That attention kind of comes natural to those that are out front. But God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. We need to make sure that part which lacks, that attention doesn't come naturally, we need to make sure that we are giving them that attention. Notice he says there in verse 24, God has tempered the body together. Our physical body, God's put it together in such a marvelous way. Psalm 139 says, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. I mean, you know, to think that this all came together by chance is just ludicrous. God has tempered this together. He's brought it together. He has made it so that it works well together as a body, as a unit. The needs of the body are met through the members of the body. It works tremendously because God's put it together that way. He built that skeleton around those vulnerable organs so that they are protected. He knows what He's doing. He's put it together. And guess what? In the church, He's done the exact same thing. He's put the church, the body of Christ, together as well. He's given the members the gifts and abilities that are needed for that church at that moment. And He's put it together so that as each member is functioning, it works as a unit to His glory. He's the one that has put it together. And every single member is important. We need each other. And we cannot forget that. We need each other. Even the ones that seem weaker, even the ones that seem less honorable, even the ones that seem unpresentable, we need them in the body. God's put it together that way. No one can elevate themselves above another. No one should put themselves below the others. We shouldn't elevate others above others. We shouldn't put others below everyone else. Ourselves or others should not be overestimated or underestimated. We work together. And that's what he says then in verse 25, that there should be no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. As we have this attitude that we need each other and no one's more important than anyone else and no one's less important than anyone else, that's what keeps the unity of the body. That's what prevents division. As soon as pride comes in, division comes in. But as we have that mutual care for one another, equally caring for one another, not caring for one more than another, as we have that mutual care and that mutual love, the body works together as a unit. As in verse 26, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. If one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. There's no rivalry, there's no competition, there's no jealousy, there's no envy, there's no inferiority, there's no superiority. We work together as God has brought us together and put us together with the gifts and the abilities that He has given to us. Content with the abilities that God has given to us. Content with the abilities that God has given to others. Not jealous of them, not wishing we had something different, but content with the wisdom and grace of God. Remember, those gifts have been given by the grace of God. Those talents and abilities are a gift from God's grace. And He, in His wisdom, has put the church together as He sees fit with those abilities and gifts in each member. And if we begin to look down upon another member or even ourselves and our own abilities, or we begin to exalt ourselves above others or exalt others above the church, the minute we do that, we begin to cause division and we are questioning the wisdom and grace of God. It's God's grace and God's wisdom that put this together. And we start having inferiority or superiority. We are questioning the grace and wisdom of God. Again, God has put it together as He sees fit, according to the need that He sees. Notice verse 28, verse 27, now you are the body of Christ and members in particular, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, gifts of healing, helps, governments or administrations, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? The answer to those questions is no. You can't have everybody doing one thing. You've got to have diversity for that body to work as a unit. And not everybody can be an apostle. Not everybody can have the gifts of healing. Not everybody can speak with tongues. That wasn't the purpose of it. I think that's very significant. You know, as you continue reading through 1 Corinthians, more so as we get to chapter 14, the Corinthians were elevating that gift of tongues above everything else. That was a very visible, out front, very spectacular, very impressive gift. And so they were elevating it above everything else. And Paul says, no, not everybody's going to speak in tongues. Some did at that time. That was a necessary gift for that time in first century Corinth. That was a necessary gift. But not everybody did it. God gave that gift as necessary to some, and He gave other gifts to others so that the church could work together as a unit. You can't elevate one gift above another. You can't elevate the recipient of one gift above another. All are needed. All are equal. You know, today, in our day and age, it seems as though many have indeed elevated the speaking in tongues above everything else, to the point where some have said that you can't even be saved unless you speak in tongues. If you don't speak in tongues, you're not even saved. That's how this gift of tongues has been elevated today. That's what the church at Corinth was doing, was elevating that one gift above others. And Paul even asked the question, do all speak in tongues? The answer is no. Not even when the gift of tongues was prevalent. Not everyone did it. And yet today, many have elevated that gift above all else. And you're not even saved if you don't speak in tongues. And that's what Paul's addressing here. There is no one gift or ability or talent above another. All are necessary. In fact, if you look at verse 28, he speaks of apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, healings, helps, governments or administrations, and diversities of tongues. And then he raises the questions, verse 29 and 30. There are two gifts mentioned in verse 28 that are not mentioned in verses 29 and 30. Do you see them? Two gifts, the gift of helps and the gifts of governments or administrations. He doesn't mention those two gifts in verses 29 and 30. And I ask the question, why? Why does he mention them in verse 28 but not in verses 29 and 30? And I would suggest this idea. I don't know for sure. But I would suggest this. I would suggest that the Corinthians looked down on those two gifts. That gift of helps, which is simply a gift that an individual was able to see the need and be able to help others in such a tremendous way. And then that gift of governments or administration, that was just the ability to administer. I think the church at Corinth was looking down on those two gifts, that gift of help and the gift of administration. You know, they're kind of more of a behind-the-scenes type of a gift. And they probably look down on them, not really all that important. And yet, as you read through 1 Corinthians, probably the two gifts that they needed the most was helps and administration. They were so messed up and so screwed up, they needed those gifts, and yet they were looking down on them. And Paul, by eliminating them in verses 29 and 30, was probably drawing that to that attention. Every gift is important. Every ability, every member is needed and should not be ignored. So just like our physical bodies, God has put the church together, giving gifts and abilities to each member so that the church can function well. No member is more important or less important than another. Every member should be treated equally with the same care. And notice verse 31. Your translation may have the first part of verse 31, but covet earnestly the best gifts, as if it's a command. I don't believe that's the case. In the original language, it could be that, or it could simply be, you are earnestly coveting the best gifts. In other words, I think that's a condemnation, not a command. That's what the church at Corinth was doing. They were coveting the gifts that they thought were the best. And Paul just got finished saying there is no best. There is no one more important than the other. So now he's not going to turn around and tell them to covet the best gifts. I think he's saying, you are coveting the best gifts, and that's wrong. And then he says, yet show I unto you a more excellent way. And that brings us into chapter 13. The more excellent way is the way of love. And I know we come to 1 Corinthians 13 and we read it at our weddings and we look at it as almost a chapter on marriage and the love that we have to have for our spouses. And nothing wrong with that. Don't misunderstand me. And it's an appropriate passage to read at a wedding. But that's not what chapter 13 is first and foremost about. Chapter 13 is about the church. It's about the body of Christ. It's about each member with their abilities and their gifts and their talents loving one another. That's the most excellent way. That's how unity is maintained. That's how division is prevented. It is through that mutual love and care and concern for one another. Even the weaker ones, even the less honorable ones, even the unpresentable ones, we love and we care for. And that's the more excellent way. Do we have that love? Do we have that care? Do we have that concern? Do we recognize that we need each other? Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you for this metaphor in your word, comparing the physical body to the body of Christ. Help us to learn from that metaphor. Help us to continue to meditate on it. Help us to examine our own hearts, Father, to see if there are those members that we have perhaps perceived as being less honorable or even unpresentable, weaker. Perhaps we've avoided them, we've ignored them. Yet, Father, in our own physical bodies, we won't do that. Help us not to do it in the body of Christ. Help us to have an equal love and equal care for one another, and that others would see that love and know that we are disciples of Jesus Christ. It's in His name we pray. Shall we stand? Father, we do pray that you would help us to continue to meditate upon your word and its truths, allowing you to examine our hearts, allowing you to show us where we lack. You love us in spite of us. May we love others in spite of them. Because of your love for us, Father, may we likewise show an equal love and care for one another. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning. May God bless you.